Okay, you have looked at HTML, and I mentioned back when we first started looking at it that programming languages need to be able to do. So if you've got a programming language, they need to be able to do three things: sequence, selection, that's ifs basically, and iteration, which are basically loops. And HTML can only do one of those. HTML can do sequence. It moves down and does one thing and then puts up the next thing and then puts up the next thing and it does sequence. But it can't handle ifs and loops, can't handle selection and iteration. So basically what has happened is other languages can be embedded into HTML to give it the power, to give the web the power. And the first and easiest one is JavaScript. So JavaScript can be embedded inside HTML. Now, JavaScript is a totally different language than Java. Okay, they just happen to grab the same name. But JavaScript is a language that is used largely inside HTML to make a web page. Then if you want to get involved with databases, collecting data from people on the web and all that, then you go one step further than that and you start to use things like PHP, which allow you to gather data, keep the database, reference the database, and all of that kind of thing. So today we're going to start looking at JavaScript, and we're going to look at it and talk about the logic as we go along, although there's not a lot of logic that we're going to look at today, but as we look at other examples, we'll get more into it. So we're going to start out with, under Site Resources, there's something called Programs, and you're going to click on that. And the second group down is JavaScript, and that's what we're going to start looking at.
What did you say, click?
I don't remember. Programs.
But before that, Site Resources, and then what?
And then Programs. Okay. And then once you're under Programs, it's JavaScript. Okay, so if I click on this first one that says hello.html. Notice it has a .html extension. It is being embedded inside HTML, and it has an HTML extension, okay? So I click on hello, and I see two things. I see hello world written up there in the corner, and I see a pop-up that has a hello world on it. Okay, so those are the two things that I see. And if I then click on the pop-up to make it go away, I'm down to one thing, and notice it changed the background color as well. Okay, so now, if I want to see the code that generated that, I right-click and choose View Page Source. I'm doing this in Firefox. If you want to be with me, then do it in Firefox. If you want to use something else, then you have to find the equivalent of V. What is it? In Chrome, it's Control-O?
Control-U.
Control-U?
Okay.
Control-O?
Yeah.
That's the open okay. file. Yeah.
Okay. So View Page Source is what you want to take a picture of. What you want to click on, sorry. I want to take a picture of it. You don't have to. So I'm going to right-click View Page Source, and that shows me the code. Okay, so here is the code that generated that. I'm gonna put it in Notepad and make it bigger so that I can go back. So there's the program. And it's saying, hello world. And this is the code that made that happen. Okay? Now, notice I just, for now, have HTML at the top and HTML at the bottom. I don't have head and all those good things in it. I don't have body and all those good things in it. And if I were really doing a page, I would have that, because I would have a lot more on it than saying hello world, okay? But for now, I want to focus on the JavaScript, so I'm just having the HTML at the top to open it, the HTML at the bottom, and inside, I'm putting the script, okay? And it's script, type equals text, JavaScript is not required, but it tells me what I'm doing, so at the beginning, I put it in. So I have script there, and then at the bottom I do close script. Because the browser has to know that I am actually claiming to run HTML, but that I'm doing something else inside. So I have to tell the browser that, and the tag script tells it that. Okay? So if it knows that I've got script, and then I said type equals text JavaScript, that was put there, I think, when people didn't recognize that JavaScript was going to win. And so the script now kind of defaults to JavaScript. Okay, so that tells me I have a script. Then I said document write. So that means on the document, which is the screen, I want to write. I want to do the write function. And it is document dot write, and it is the write function, and the two parentheses after that tell the browser that this is a function. Okay, so I'm doing the write function on the document, and whatever I put inside those parentheses is what I'm going to write. And so I put inside those parentheses, quote, hello world. Okay, so that means I want to write the literal hello world. The fact that it's in parentheses makes it a literal, and I am writing the literal hello world. And then I do the alert function. And the alert function gave me an annoying pop-up, so you probably don't want to do those too often. But it gave me an annoying pop-up that also says the literal hello world. Okay? So I got two things to happen. I wrote on the document and I did a pop-up. Okay? And depending on what browser you use, it may or may not like pop-ups. So that's my basic HTML. Now, when I write this, I do the same thing that I did in HTML. I write it in Notepad. I save it with a .html extension. I upload it to someplace, put it on my C drive or my E drive or whatever drive I want to put it on, and save it. And then I go to the browser and open what I've saved, the same as I did with HTML. So this is really just an extension of what you did with HTML. It's just that we are including in it now some JavaScript. Okay, and it's behind the scenes that they handle the change there. Okay, the next one, questions, I should have said. Anybody got any questions on the first one? Okay, the next one is going to do a multiply. So here I also have a pop-up. And there are better ways to do this, but they're more complicated. So for our purposes, we're going to just do a pop-up to get data. So I say here, enter the first number. So I'm going to enter 4. And when I'm done, I say okay. Enter the second number, I'm going to put in 5. And when I say I'm done, I enter okay, and it comes up with 20. This one is coming up with the answer of 20. Okay, so now I've still got the HTML at the top. I start out the script. And I put the fact that it's text JavaScript. And I, at the bottom, close the script in the HTML. Then I go through inside the script, and I set up 3 memory variables. So I set up answer, I set up first num, and I set up second num. Now, JavaScript is very picky, very case-sensitive, and so I call all of these with lowercase, and that's the way I have to refer to them. If I make any of those letters uppercase, it's going to not be happy with me and not work. So it's very case-sensitive. So I set up the 3 variables. I gave each one of them an initial value of 0. So that equals 0 is an initial value being a sign. Okay? Because this equal sign is an assignment sign. Okay? So I'm assigning 0 to those 3 areas. I'm saying put 0 into those 3 areas. Some programming languages also want you to specify what kind of data it is. Is it a number or is it text? Okay? JavaScript doesn't. So I can just give it a value and it claims that it's going to figure out whether it's a number or text. Okay? So I give it a number, 0. And notice the semicolon after the lines. Okay, when a line is complete, I put a semicolon. So I set up a variable using var. That's a word in JavaScript. And then I make up a name for the field. So answer is mine, first num is mine, and second num is mine. But var is part of JavaScript. It's telling me that I'm setting up a variable there. So then I want to ask the user to give me the numbers. So I go down and I do the prompt. And the prompt puts up a pop-up that asks for data. So it says, enter the first number, and that prompt came up. Now there was a box for me to type the number in. And this 0 that I have here is the 0 that is in that box when it first comes up. So within the box there is a 0, and it says enter the first number. And I entered a 4. Okay? So I entered a 4, so first num now changes to a 4. It started out as a 0, but I entered a 4, and so it changes to a 4. Then for the second prompt, I entered a 5, so this is changing to a 5. Okay, so I've now taken those in. I then drop down, and I'm doing sequence now by dropping down one instruction at a time. And I said, okay, take first num, multiply it by second num, and put the result in answer. So I put that, and I now have 20 in answer. And then I said, okay, now document write answer. And so it writes out the 20. So I'm writing out the content of that memory variable. So I'm writing out 20. Okay? Then I close the script and I'm done. So I have a whole series of assignment signs in there where I take in the information from the prompt, assign it to first num, take in the information from the next prompt, assign it to second num, do the multiply, assign it to answer, and then I write out what is currently in answer. Questions? Okay, the next one is multiply answer.
Yeah, I have a question.
Yep. So
this box is it called an alert?
I call it a pop-up, but
a pop-up.
That then it comes with a prompt. It can come up either through an alert if it's just a message, or it can come up as a prompt when I want something. Okay, so notice this prompt. I'm coming in and asking it for a number. Remember I said the zero would show up in the box? Then the prompt, so there's the zero that's showing up in the box. Okay? So this time I'm going to put in 6 as my first number. And I'm going to put in 2 as my next number, or 20, that's fine. And say okay, and the answer is 120. Okay. So the only difference here is down in my document write. In my document write, I put out a literal that's enclosed in quotes. So we wrote, the answer is. And notice I left a space here between the S and the quote. That got me a space up there. If I hadn't left that space, it would have been jammed together. Then my comma is a separator. And answer is a variable, and I'm putting out the contents of what's in that variable. And I had put in 6 and 20, so answer was 120. Okay. And that's what it wrote. The answer is 100. Okay. I want you to now write one that will do a divide or a subtract or both of them, but don't do an add.
But don't do what?
Don't do an add. Okay? We will get into how to do an add next. But I want you to start from scratch and write a simple JavaScript in Notepad. Do something similar to what I did. If you want to take in 3 numbers and add them all, not add, multiply them all together, do a subtract, do a divide, whatever you want to do, but do something that is involving this. Okay. If I look at my logic on this, I simply have a start, then I set up my variables. I prompt the user. I do a calculation. I display the answer. And I stop. So that's my logic, is I set up my variables, I prompt the user, I do a calculation, and I display the answer. And then I stop. So that's a simple flowchart showing the logic that I go through. And I should have done that before I said start writing, because nobody's listening to me. As I said, save it in Notepad and then load it into a browser and see if it works. And that's the other reason I like Firefox, is with Firefox you get the menu. If I click on all those bars up above, I get the menu bar. And the menu bar makes it very easy when I want to do a file open. If you're having problems, Lindsay and I are here with nothing else to do. I'm going to start one of these around. Close to duplicating what I have. I just want you to go through the testing and writing.
Okay.
Remember, there is a semicolon at the end of all of the lines. Make Lindsay work and then we'll pay.
those lost, that use things.
How you doing? Has anybody got output? Yeah. If you're having trouble with the output, please ask.
Yes.
Okay, how we doing? Everybody else? Anybody having problems or you got output? Okay.
I need some output. So do I see it as a HTML body?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you have to open it in the browser.
Save it under a different name.
What I always do is put up the menu bar. But you can do it any way you want, but you have to open it in the browser.
Okay.
I don't want to.
So bring up the menu bar. I don't know how to do that.
If you have those three little bars and the cross.
Exactly, I can't.
Right click on it. And it shows your menu bar. And then you can come over here and do a file, open. Find it.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. Did you find what it was?
Oh, it looks perfect. I'm going to keep looking at it, though.
Okay, I must have did something wrong because I don't see anything.
Okay. Then we will take a look at it when I stop the next time.
Okay.
So, this is the flowchart that I did for this. I said, I'm going to start, I'm going to set up my variables, I'm going to prompt the user, I'm going to do a calculation, I'm going to display the answer, and I'm going to stop. I'm not doing anything there that requires an if or a loop at this point. I'm just doing very straightforward things. But I'm doing something that I can't do in HTML, and that is I'm doing a calculation and has the power to do that kind of thing. Okay, so now we're going to go on and look at the next one. And the next one is about adding. So I said, enter the first number, and I will put in a 2. And then I said, enter the next number, and I'll put in a 7. And I got 2 answers. One is 27, and the other is 9. So let's look and see how that happened. We have a problem, and that is that the plus sign can mean 2 things. It can mean add, and it can mean concatenate. And concatenate is put 2 things together as 1. So when I entered a 2 and a 7, and it did a concatenate, it gave me 27. Concatenated the 2 and the 7 right next to each other. When I got a 9, it was doing an add. So up here, I was getting a concatenate, and here I was getting an add. Now, the problem is this. Because it means 2 things, the browser has to decide which one to do. And the browser looks for clues as to how to decide. So, I came in here and I put in, first of all, my 4 variables. I added another variable called other answer. I did my 2 prompts and I came in with the 2 and the 7. And then I said answer equals first num plus second num, and it did a concatenate. Because there was nothing there that told it I was dealing with numbers and it should do an add. So it defaulted to doing a concatenate. So that's why I got document right. The answer is 27. Okay. This one gave me the answer is 27. Now, a way that I can get around this is convince it that it's dealing with numbers. And if I put in here parse float, float is the same or similar to decimal. So if I put in there parse float, it takes and basically passes on to the browser that this is a number. So I said parse float, and parse float is a function. So it has two sets of parentheses that I can put the thing that I want to turn into a decimal inside those parentheses. So I said, convert first num, convert second num. And what I'm really saying is, hey, browser, these are numbers. Okay? And so since they were numbers, it added them up. And other answer came out as a 9. Answer came out as a 27. Other answer, the browser was now convinced it should add because it was dealing with numbers. So it does the add. Okay. Now, I'd already written one line, and then I wanted to write another line down here to tell it other answer. I wanted it to be on a different line, so I needed this to move down a line. It's a BR, the same BR that we used in HTML. So, what I've got here is I have stuck JavaScript inside HTML, and now I'm sticking HTML inside of JavaScript. So they're mutually doing fine. So I'm saying send down literally, this is a literal in here, literally the BR tag. And so when it sends down the BR tag, it gets the BR and it does the break. Okay? So I'm saying send down literally this tag. Send the tag to the browser. The browser takes that tag and says, oh, you want a break. And so it breaks a line, and the next thing shows up on the next line. So when you want to do an add, you have to go through this to convince the browser that it needs to do an add. Okay? Notice that parse float has a capital F. If you're dealing with a whole number, you can deal with parse int, and the I has to be capitalized. So if you're dealing with a whole number, you can say parse integer, and the int is for integer, and the I has to be capitalized. So that's parse integer. Okay, questions? Okay. Honest? Okay, the next one shows you other ways you can do the math. So I'm going to put in 4 and 6, and I've got 46 one time and 10 all the rest of the times. Okay, this is just showing you a few other ways that I could have done this. Okay, now, I did something on this one that I probably shouldn't have done. I have to find some variables, and I call them answer, other answer, first num, second num. So I've got answer, I've got other answer, I've got first num. And I've got second num. Okay, so I start doing this. And JavaScript moves through and is doing fine. It says first num, put in a prompt, and I put in a 4, put in a 6. I said answer equals, oh, I'm sorry, I should have put all the zeros in here because I started out with all zeros. Okay. Then when I got prompted, I put the 4 in as first num, and I put in the 6 as second num. Okay, so they're in. Then I said, okay, answer equals first num plus second num. I didn't tell the browser I was dealing with numbers. And so it concatenated, and it wrote out the answer is 46. Okay. Then I went on and said, okay, now I want to use pass float. And so I did it with pass float, and I assigned it to other answer. Okay, so answer had gotten the 46. Other answer is getting the 10. Because I did an actual add of 4 and 6. And then I did a document write of the BR. And then I wrote out the answer's other answer. And then I came down and I said, okay, I put a plus sign in front of first num and a plus sign in front of second num, and put first num and second num both in parentheses. That's another way of telling it that these are numbers. Putting that plus sign in front of it is telling it those are numbers. So therefore it does the add, but wait a minute. I said do the add and assign it to plus answer. I never defined plus answer. Now, JavaScript says, oh, you want to use, put it into a place called plus answer. You don't have a place called plus answer. I'll make one for you. So it very nicely makes a plus answer for me. Should I do that? No. Do I do it? Yeah. Should you do it? No. Will you do it? Yeah. But anyway, I basically have plus answer, and so now it tells it the plus answer is a 10. And then I go on, and another way to do it is to write the word number and then put what you want to add in parentheses. And notice the number has a capital N. And I said I wanted to put that in number answer, but wait a minute, I didn't define that either. So it defines that for me and makes that a 10, and I write that out. Now, the reason that it worked is because I was saying take first num plus second num and assign it to plus answer. And it said, okay, if you want to assign it, you need a variable, I'll make you one. If I had done the calculation and put plus answer over here, and it went looking for something to substitute for plus answer and couldn't find it, it would have crashed. So I only got away with it because it was a place to put a new answer. If I had tried to do that by having it as part of a calculation, it would have thrown up its hands and said, I don't know what to do, and crashed. Okay? So I got away with this. I shouldn't have done it, but I did, and it worked. Questions?
Yes, you probably said this before, but where did the 46 come from?
I put in a 4, and I put in a 6. And it concatenated them together, so it makes 46. And put them together next to each other, and it makes it a 46. Okay, because the plus sign can mean add, or it can mean concatenate. And the difference between what it does is me convincing the browser that it has numbers, and therefore should add. Okay. And so this shows you two other ways to convince the browser. One is putting the plus sign in front, and one is putting the word number with a capital N in front. I don't see those as often as I see pass, float, pass, integer. But they are ways that work. Math answer. Enter the first number, and I'll enter a 4. Enter the next number, 6. Enter an asterisk or a divide. So I'm entering an asterisk. And I get the answer is 24. Okay, so what I've got here now is I am starting to use an if statement. So I put up 4 variables. What to do, I didn't give an initial value to, and that's fine. Okay, so I have answer has an initial value of 0. First num has an initial value of 0. Second num has an initial value of 0. And what to do does not have an initial value. And that's fine. If I'd wanted to, I could have said the equal sign and then put quote, quote, which would have meant nothing. Quote, quote would work. So I took those in, and then I put out the prompt. And I said, enter the first number, and I think I put in a 4. And enter the next number, and I put in a 6. And enter an asterisk or a... Wait a minute. So why didn't somebody stop me? I haven't got answer yet. Okay. First num was a 4. Second num was a 6. Okay. Then I put it in an asterisk as what to do. Okay, so now I have my asterisk as what to do. So I went down and I asked the if statement. If what to do equals asterisk. And it does. Then I go and I do the calculation of multiplying first num times second num and putting the result in answer. So I'm multiplying 4 by 6, putting the result in answer. Answer is a 24. If I had not answered with an asterisk, it would have taken the else. And the else tells it what to do, which would be to do a divide. Okay? And then it does a document write and writes out the answer is answer, and I get the answer is 24. Okay, now there's a lot of things to talk about here. First of all, the condition is in parentheses. Notice that that line does not have a semicolon after it because the if statement isn't done, so it doesn't get a semicolon. The other statements, when I was doing a prompt or doing a calculation, it's done, so I put the semicolon. But the if statement is not done, and so I don't put a semicolon. And I put the condition that I want in the parentheses. What does the double equal sign there mean? a single equal means that I want to do an assign. It's an assignment. A double equal means I want to compare for equal. I want to test and see if it's equal. So I am putting a double equal sign there because I want to see if they entered an asterisk for what to do. If when I prompted them for what to do, did they enter an asterisk? And they did. So I go and inside these curly braces of what I want to do if the statement is true. So inside here is what I want to do if the statement is true. Inside down here is what I want to do if the statement is not true, if it's false. So if what to do equals an asterisk, then I want to do a multiply, else I want to do a divide. Okay? So if it's not an asterisk, I'll do a divide, yeah.
Could you use an if-else for, so it looks specifically for a division sign?
Yeah, and that's coming next. You're ahead of me, that's all. Okay, so now what I'm going to do is ask the question that he just asked. What about if instead of an asterisk or a slash, I type a Z? What's it going to do? Look at the logic. If I type a Z, what is it going to do? Yeah. It's going to do a divide. Because what I've said here is if you type an asterisk, I'm going to do a multiply. Else, meaning anything else that you type, I'm going to do a divide. The else isn't asking did you do a divide. It is saying anything else, I'm going to do a divide. Okay? That's not good code. So, first we're going to look at the flowchart for this. Okay? So I come in and I start. And obviously I should do a flowchart before I do the code, but we're a little bit off here. I define my variables. Then I do my prompts. And I use a parallelogram for I/O. A rectangle is something you do. A parallelogram is for I/O. And an I/O is input-output, and a prompt is asking for input. So I'm doing my prompts. If you're doing a very detailed flowchart, you probably should tell all three prompts, but I'm not going to be that detailed because one thing I don't have room. So then I'm going to ask the question, is what to do an asterisk? And if the answer is yes, then I am going to do a multiply. And if the answer is no, I'm going to do a divide. And then after I've done that, I am going to display my answer. And then I'm going to stop. And that says answer, believe it or not. Anyway, I'm saying display my answer and then I'm stopping. So again, you can see that in the logic, as long as they say asterisk, I do a multiply, anything other than asterisk, Z plus anything other than asterisk, it does a divide. Okay? So what I needed to do to make this better would have been the no should have gone off and asked about another question. So in here, I should have instead said, is what to do a slash? And if it is, then I want to do a divide. Otherwise, I want to put up some kind of an error. So instead of doing the divide, I should have asked that. Okay? So, now what I want you to do is take this program and fix it. See how you can fix it to make a divide. Okay? So, what, to ask this question, Rama. So what you're going to do is you're going to put another if inside there. Okay? So you're going to, instead of doing the divide, you're going to do another if and then either do the divide or the error. So give that a shot and see if you can figure out. For every curly brace, there needs to be a close of the curly brace. Okay? So if you put in a question here, and I have, let's see where I can get some more. That gives you a little bit of a clue as to how you do the insertion. If it's an asterisk, I do the true processing. Else, I'm going to do the false processing. So if it's true, I'm doing that. If it's false, I'm doing that. Inside the false processing, I ask another question. If it's true, I do that. If it's false, I do that. So give that a shot, see what you come up with, and then we'll do the answer. For every opening curly brace, there has to be a closing curly brace. Now go ahead and add addition and subtraction. So we're not going to get to that today, but that would be the next thing to do.
To the, in the same...
Yeah, so, yeah, have them so they can enter an asterisk, a slash, a plus, or a minus.
So are we going to go down and then do it, or we do all...
You're going to have to make a change to the thing that I said.
Okay.
This is... Instead of doing this here, I want to ask that question there. So you're going to do insert that question there. And then I put over on the side here a little bit about how you can do that insert. Okay. What don't you understand?
I don't know where it's supposed to go.
It's supposed to go right in. So you're taking that line and instead of that line, you say it's what to do equals a slash. If it is, do a divide. Otherwise, write out an error.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. Well, stop trying to do it. So take this statement, pull it out, and write an if statement like this, except you're going to be looking for a slash instead of an asterisk. Okay? So this is where you're going to be putting it in. I've started the solution up there, but please don't look. Try doing it on your own, and then we'll get to that. And look at how my curly braces go. When I insert that, this was the stuff that was true. This was the stuff that was false. Inside there, I'm putting another if, and I have two curly braces about what's true, and two curly braces about what's false. I think you're missing that curly brace. It's very hard. And one of the things I do, seriously, is I count my opening, closing braces, curly braces, and count my closing.
I've had this policy that always forgets to have an extra.
Now it's working. One of the things that I also do is as soon as I decide I'm doing this else, I put in those curly braces. I put those two in that are around the else, and then I stick the stuff in between. So that I have this and say these are around the else. Now I will stick something in between, and that kind of keeps me from losing that one. So that's another way of doing it. Because that's my biggest problem in life, is curly braces. And a lot of people write curly braces like they put the opening one up here and the closing one down here. That's weak. I can't do that. Because I'm going to not do it right. So that's why, in fact, professionals tend not to do it the way I do it. But if I put the opening and closing braces on separate lines, I think it's much clearer. And when you're learning, especially, I think it's much clearer. Then you can stop being fancy and put them on different lines. But if you look at this, you can see how they go a lot more clearly. And I'm not finished with this. I just started it. But if you're having problems, look at where I go with the solution on that. Okay. And as I said, when I start doing this, I frequently take and say, okay, this is the opening and closing curly brace if it's true. Here is the opening and closing if it's false. Leave those there, and then I start to put stuff inside. That helps me. The hardest part of this is keeping track of the curly braces. Okay, as far as I'm concerned, at least. That's where I always go off.
I only have that issue when I'm not starting from scratch. I just copy it.
Okay, okay. Well, I have it all the time. Forgetting to close one or forgetting to close another. Okay, if some people got output... And I'm just going to write error as a literal. Okay, so here's the solution that I have, and we're going to test it in a minute and see if it works. But I've got, okay, these two are what I want to do with what to do is an asterisk. This is what I want to do if what to do is not an asterisk. I want to do the else. And what I'm going to do is put in those braces around the else. Then I said, okay, now inside the else, if it's a slash, this is what I want to do. If it's not a slash, this is what I want to do. And so I've got my curly braces like that. As I said, you'll find sometimes professionals will put the curly braces on the same line or somewhat, but I think when you're learning, having them stand out is a lot better way of going. And maybe that's because I don't always do curly braces well. Okay, so I'm going to save this as file, save as, multiply, divide. I'm going to put it on my F drive. So I'm saving it as multiply divide .html. And then I am going to go and do a file again. If you want the menu bar, you click on those four lines that are going up and down. Right-click on it, and you get the menu bar, which I think is just a lot easier. So then I'm going to say File, Open File. I'm going to my F drive, and I call that Multiply Divide. So there it is. Okay, so I'm going to enter a 6 and a 3... and a slash, and it did the divide. So that's working. Then I'm going to enter a 6 and a 3 and a Z, and it comes out with the answer is error. So it's working. Okay. So there is the logic, and it is working. Okay, so now what I want you to do, if you want to, and this is extra credit. So if on Thursday or before class on Thursday, you have sent me one that does multiplication, division, addition, or subtraction, okay, so that I can enter any one of those four and it will do them. And if you send that to me before class on Thursday, you get extra credit. Okay, that's an extra credit. But we're going to go over it first thing on Thursday. So if I don't have it in my email prior to the start of class on Thursday, no extra credit. Okay? All right. At 12:12, I don't think we're going to start anything new. So we're done. Yeah.
I was going to say, why would you have an output be in various error? Why couldn't you just have it just do a do while?
Yeah, but I